There's always room for more. Our core values are faith, capacity building, purpose, and mind transformation. Under this banner is why we are having a class this evening titled Singlehood and Marriage: The Difference and How to Prepare for It. And to teach us, we are going to be having Mr. and Mrs. Purpose. Mr. and Mrs. Purpose. The name is not new to us, especially Mr. Purpose, but now we are going to be having Mrs. Purpose. So I'll just be sending their bios right now. So even while I read it out, you can just follow through as I read it. And I trust that this class is going to be very, very insightful and lovely. All right, while introducing Mrs. Purpose first, Favonua Afeoluwape is a dynamic woman with an exceptional aptitude for etiquette and protocol, an insightful leader who expresses her thoughts through her writing skill and weekly weekend reflection articles for women, a meticulous administrator with a sharp ability to coordinate people to carry out projects in an efficient manner. As an etiquette coach, she founded her own outfit, the Graceful Cornerstones, an organization whose core mission is to raise teenage girls into a more polished version using wisdom and principles from God's word as a standard. As a writer, she has written well over 300 insightful and inspiring articles and has well over a decade writing experience, initially as a freelance writer for magazines of some reputable empowerment organizations. As a businesswoman, she provides excellent and professional makeup services to enhance the beauty of brides and ladies for weddings and other social events, and also sells luxury perfumes through her Fave Aura and Makeover brand. As a wife, she helps her husband, Noah Toluleke Afeoluwape, also known as Mr. Purpose, on the board of the Purpose School, Nigeria's first and leading self-discovery academy for teens and young people. As a Christian, she's a committed lover of God and a passionate singer and teacher of God's word. Favor is an evolving and emerging woman who will transform many lives globally because of the multiple virtues and graces God has blessed her with. And that is the bio for Mrs. Purpose. Now, reading for Mr. Purpose, we have Noah Toluleke Afeoluwape. He is an amazing strategic thinker and a highly sought-after inspirational speaker who speaks with power and great oratorical skill, stirring the hearts of his audience to discover and fulfill God's purpose for their lives by developing and deploying their personal leadership abilities to solve problems creatively. He founded the Purpose Center in 2009 and serves as the lead consultant of the Purpose School, Nigeria's first and leading self-discovery and leadership school for teens and young people. The Purpose Center, a social enterprise that serves secondary schools with a unique inspirational education service, has held over 250 free seminars across Lagos and has equipped over 35,000 teens with the life-transforming curriculum of the Purpose School, he wrote in 2012. He has a BSc in Human Resource Management and has several professional certifications as a professional public speaker and a trainer, and attended trainings in Neuro-Linguistic Programming, NLP, from the Lam Riolusola Life Coaching Program. He's fast carving a niche for himself as a thought leader and voice when it comes to purpose, self-discovery, and leadership. Due is over a decade impactful work developing teens and young minds. Hence, he's fondly called Mr. Purpose. He's fondly called Mr. Purpose. So right about now, we are going to be having them come up to speak to us on singlehood and marriage, the difference, and how to prepare for it. Now, reading as we all know, they are married, obviously. So I'm going to be reading their joint bio. So even after I read this, I'll lay down some ground rules and they are going to pick it up from there. Noah and Favour Afeoluwapẹ are now known as Mr. and Mrs. Purpose after their wedding in 2019, which was themed hashtag Return to Eden. Both founded a relationship program tagged hashtag The Perfect Match, which was influenced from their unique story of how God perfectly matched them together, and also to promote purity, passion, and purpose during courtship and marriage proper. They both married as virgins and believe that singles can do relationship God's way and also complement each other's already purpose-driven lives. They have a strong vision to raise a purpose-driven generation of young leaders who are kingdom and nation builders through their global outreach ministry, the Purpose Center. And that's concerning the bio of Mr. and Mrs. Purpose. So even while they teach us concerning the laid out theme, I would love for all of us to keep our mics muted so that we can hear them clearly. This class is going to be recorded for some of us that might want it later. So it will do us a lot of good for us to maintain decorum while the class goes on. If you have any questions, you can put them on the group, and once they're done, once they open the window for questions, we are going to read it out loud to them, and I'm sure they'll also be able to see it, and they're going to answer us directly. So over to you, Sir Amma.
All right, good evening, everybody. Thank you, Quincy San, for the platform to share. And
Thank you very much, sir.
we're extremely grateful. We're extremely excited to be here. And we believe this will be a night to remember positively for everyone. Let me allow my wife to say hello to you all, and we'll kick off. But I want to know how many minutes we have to share so that we can speak within allotted time. So, sweetheart.
We're going to be speaking will happen for about an hour, and then we'll entertain questions for like 30 minutes because we're recording this and it will be made available on the Moment to the Queen podcast. So I'm trying to cover everything. Jim, over to you, please.
Okay. All right. So my wife wants to say to everyone.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity, Moment with Quincy San. I'm excited to be on this platform, and I look forward to a great time tonight. So I just want to say everyone should open up their hearts to learn. Now, the things we'll be sharing are things that you know already, or you may have heard. So if so, it will just come as a reminder to you. But I'm very sure and positive that everybody will go home with one or two things. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is sorry. At the end of the day, the most important thing is practicing or putting into action whatever you learn. Because knowledge that is not put to work is not power. I know we've heard knowledge is power. But knowledge is actually not power. It is the knowledge that you put to work that is power. So I look forward to a great time tonight. Thank you.
All right. If this was a live event, I would have said, please put your hands together for my favorita. All right. I'm going to go straight into a short exhortation because we believe that everybody here has a deep reverence for God. So life began for us. Life began for every one of us here when God gave us the breath of life, the permission to join the race called life. So I want to take what I have to share first from the word of God, which is Genesis chapter 2 from verse 10 to 18. Where did all of this begin from? So it's better to go to the beginning and look at the ideal picture, or like call it the template that God himself had for humanity. So that wherever stage you are presently, whether you are single, whether you are already mingled, or whether you are married, you can find yourself and take some points home and align yourself to what God would have you adjust or align yourself to tonight. So Genesis chapter 2 from verse 10. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 10. The Bible says, and a river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden and then dividing into four branches. The first branch, he called the Pishon, flowed around the entire land of Havilah, where gold is found. The gold of the land is exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and onyx. Onyx stone are also found there. The second branch, called the Gihon, flowed around the entire land of Cush. The third branch, called the Tigris, flowed east of the land of Ashur. Then the fourth branch is called the Euphrates. Verse 15, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for this man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. The New King James Version says, I will make a help meet, that is a help that is meet for him. Some versions say a help that is suitable for him. So for every female here listening to me, I like to refer to this verse as your purpose statement. This is the verse that informed the production of the female man, to bring the female man on the scene, to join the race of life. Okay, so take note of that. Verse 18, but the Lord God said, it is not good for this man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Wow, I love that statement. Who is just right for him? So the Lord God formed. So that's where I'm going to stop. And let me jump back to chapter 1 and read verse 27. And read verse 27 of Genesis. Verse 27 says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And the Lord God created you in his own image. So whether you are male or whether you are female, you are created in the image and likeness of God. So the first thing that I want to say to everybody here, whether you are single or married, is this: God created you in his image and likeness. God created you to be like him. And there's a purpose for that creation. There's a reason why you were created. And until you find God's reason for placing you on this earth, you would mismanage the seasons of your life. I'm going to say that again. Until you discover God's own reason, which is purpose, for placing you on the earth, you will mismanage the seasons of your life. The Bible says that there is a time and season for every purpose under the heavens. So the purpose of the season that we refer to as the single years, where we are single, there are certain things expected of you to do. Now I'm married, I can never be in that season again. And the quality of the marriage you pray and desire to have is dependent on the quality of your single years. The quality of marriage you're going to have is dependent on the quality of human being, the quality of person that you were or you are as a single person. And you cannot become single until you discover God's purpose for your life. What do I mean by that? The word single does not really refer to a season of one's life. It refers to a state of being whole, a state of being whole, of being complete, needing no external validation for you to come into a full acceptance of yourself. So the word single is not referring to a season of your life, it's referring to a state of being whole, of being a complete person who understands who he or she is based on God's revelation. That's why I started by saying that you were created in the image and likeness of God, the God of the universe, the God of the whole earth. No matter where you're listening to me from, whether you're in Madagascar, Alaska, or America, you are created in the image and likeness of God. Your value is not dependent on your background. It's not dependent on your current environment. It's not dependent on your past mistakes. It's not dependent on the degree you graduated with from school. It's not dependent on the value of your nation's currency. So you must not submit your single, the definition of your single years to whether you have a person in your life, whether you're in a relationship or not. Until you are single, you are not ready to mingle. And when you are married, you must still remain single for that marriage to be healthy. And I'm going to explain all of those points. Now, let us look at the principles here. When God started this big stage that we call life here, the first thing he did before he brought the human beings on the scene was to create a garden. He created a garden, and he was responsible for watering that garden. I don't want to go into too much of the biblical details, but you need to study it for yourself and see it there. Now, I want to talk to the males on this platform tonight. The first thing God gave to you was his presence. As a man, for you to find yourself, you must first be a lover of God's presence. God gave Adam work before he ever gave him wife. And before he gave him work, he gave him Eden. Eden is a place of great intimacy with God. And it's in a place of intimacy that you get accuracy to your self-discovery process. Or let me say it this way, your self-identity. So as a male here, who are you? Who have you discovered God made you to be? So God gave Adam an environment that already carried his presence. It was in that environment, in the presence of God, came the essence of
the first human being, that's Adam. And then the work that was given to him was the priority for God and the priority for the man. And that now determined whether that man needed a helper that was just right for him. So if you are a male here and you have not found God's purpose for your life, even if you are 35, you have no right to propose to a lady if you have not found what your life's work is. You have no right to propose to a lady if you have not yet discovered who you are, what your purpose is, because a woman joining you is supposed to join you to help you to fulfill a certain or specific God-given assignment. And for every woman here, you also have a responsibility to discover who you are. So that will help you to identify the man that you are most suitable to complement and help. So, like I said earlier, our single years really is not a season where you are not in a romantic relationship. It's supposed to be the season of life for self-discovery, self-mastery, which now leads to life mastery. It's supposed to be the season where you develop some major things about yourself. Now, I'm going to talk about five P's, five things that you need to have a good understanding of if you are still not in a committed romantic relationship that is headed towards marriage, and if you are not yet married. So there are five things that I'm going to lay down as my top five priorities for a person, male or female, that has not yet committed to any other human being. So whether you are male or female, these five things are things that you should pursue with all of your heart when you are single. So the first thing I've already mentioned is purpose. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God already created a purpose for your life. So you must find God's purpose for you as an individual, male or female. Let me talk to the women a bit here. Listening to my wife's profile this evening, I just grew in love with her again. I just fell in love with her afresh. Because one of the things I say to women is this: a productive woman is more attractive than a seductive woman. A productive woman is more attractive than a seductive woman. But most times, a lot of females, maybe it's a cultural thing, because way back, a lot of women were not given the room to express their potential beyond the confines of the kitchen and the bedroom. A lot of women were not given the permission to express the creativity, productivity in the boardroom and other rooms of life. So you see that the generations before us, the women were very laid back. They didn't really pursue becoming skillful at anything except just the skill of being a homemaker, which is one of the necessary skills that a lady should cultivate. But you should not limit your life to what goes on in the kitchen and in the other room. All right, you are of greater value than that. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, I think verse 28, the Bible says, "And the Lord God blessed them," plural. So the male man is not the only one carrying responsibility to be productive. And said to them, "Be fruitful." Your greatest desire as a female that is not in a relationship should not be to marry a rich man or a great man. Your desire should be to be your best productive self. That when a rich man meets you, he will consider it a privilege to ask you to marry him. Your dream should not be to marry the president and you be the first lady. You can even become the first female president, and then your husband becomes the first man or first husband of Nigeria or any nation you are. What I'm trying to say to the females first is you must be purpose driven. And once you find God's purpose for your life, it begins to pull the potential God placed in you out of you. You move from being a passive individual to an active individual. And for every male on this platform tonight, that you are muscular doesn't mean you will be spectacular in life. You don't, if you go to the gym every day and you build your muscles and you don't build your spiritual muscles, your mental muscles, your social muscle, you are going to be a muscular broke individual. Because as a male, the responsibility to lead the home has been placed on you by God's choice. So one of the things that a male should be equipping himself with in your single years is leadership skills. And there are different areas of leadership when we're talking about marriage that is a necessity or that is compulsory for the male to develop when you are single. Because I can't cover everything in this time. I'm going to invite my wife to speak in a few minutes. I want to give you, some of you, a secret. My wife is loaded, but she doesn't really like to talk. She writes, she's an excellent writer, but when she starts to talk, she would not want to stop. So she's winking at me, she's telling me I should speak for 45 minutes, I should speak for 15 minutes. I said, no, we'll do it equal. So I think I've been speaking for too long for in my own estimation. So I want my wife to add her voice to this. Since it's a joint, is a collabo. It's like a duet. So it shouldn't just be my voice. So, like I said, there are five P's. I've shared the first. Your purpose. You should find your purpose. Your purpose will point you to your God-ordained potential. And I will talk a bit more about potential after my wife is done. So I've done 10 minutes. She'll do another 10 minutes. I think I've done 10 minutes. She's telling me I've not done. Baby, just continue. So please just make welcome Mrs. Purpose as she continues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Purpose. My husband just likes to draw me out. I just like to, you know, just be in my space. Write. Ask me anything. I'll write it and give it back to you. I'll write and answer you. He's the speaker. I'm the writer. So I wish I could just write. Okay. Well, Mr. Purple has laid the foundation. I'll just build on it a bit. Can you all hear me, please?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
Okay. All right. So, singlehood and marriage, the differences and how to prepare for it. Let me let you know that it's easier to be happy when you are single than when you are married. Okay. See, whatever I tell you tonight, just take it. Like, you may not understand. I believe you will understand, but for once you get into marriage, you remember some things I'm saying tonight. Then you thank me. And when you come to thank me, I'm not just going to accept thank you just like that. So take note. So it's easier to be happy when you are single than when you are married, because marriage is a totally different ball game.
from singlehood. It comes with its responsibilities. It comes with its demands. And trust me, it is easier to be happy when you are single than when you are married. Because when you are married, you are not just concerned about yourself alone. You're not just thinking about yourself alone. You cannot just make decisions just like that. I mean, when you are single, you are hungry. You probably come back late from work. What do? You can just decide to drink conflicts and go and sleep. But when you are married, I'm sorry, you can't do that. Or you are single, you decide to quickly fix Indomie. You don't have the strength to even fry the egg, so you break it inside, and then you eat and go and sleep. Anything goes. But when you are married, you can't do that, because you are thinking of every other person. You're thinking of your husband or your wife. You're thinking of the children. So you cannot just do anything you want. But when you are single, you can do anything you want. When you're single, you have your money to yourself. You can decide to spend it however you want, buy whatever you want. But when you are married, you are making investments and you have another person to think about, or other people when the children begin to come to think about. So I'd like to say that if you are single, you need to embrace your singleness, because it's a gift. It's a gift. And actually, marriage, or rather a great marriage, is actually a fusion of two whole singles who come together to become one. My husband already talked about being whole, singleness and being whole. So marriage is actually a combination of two whole singles. So that's why you must embrace your singleness, as in you must cherish it. It's a gift. As in, you can't be saying you are tired of being single. You can't be tired of being single, because it's a gift that you should embrace. And it's not a curse that you should detest. So singlehood is not singlehood. Your single years are not the years that you say you are just using it to wait till you get married. They're not years that you are using to wait till you get married, but rather they are years that you are using to build for the future. Not just for the future, for life. So your single years, don't think that I'm single now. And when you hear someone saying I'm single, what comes to mind is she's not yet married. So you're just waiting to be married. But no, single years are your years for building. So they are not years that you are using to wait till you get married. And let me inform you that marriage was never designed to make you happy, but rather marriage was designed to make you better. Because marriage is like a school. I mean, school was not designed to make you happy. School was designed to make you better. You enter school in one level and you graduate a better level. For instance, a lawyer enters as an undergraduate year one. You learn math, English, literature. You go to year two. You learn some other courses. Up to final year, you now go to law school, then join the bar, and then you become a lawyer or a barrister. So you see it. You entered just as an undergraduate, not knowing anything. But by the time you are leaving with a degree as a lawyer. So that's cool. And that's exactly how marriage is. Marriage was designed to make you better, not necessarily happy. But you can be happy in marriage. Yes. Have the marriage of your dreams. Just like my mentor would say, you can have the marriage of your dreams. So you can be happy actually in marriage. And you can also be better in marriage. But you have to work it out. So in marriage, you have the responsibility to please each other, or rather to please another human being. So let me come to the ladies, because I'm always passionate about talking to ladies, using my own experience. I'm very grateful to God that I utilized my single years. In fact, having gotten married, in marriage now, if I could go back, I would do more. Now that I realize that my time is completely, I'm not in full or total control of my time as a married woman now, because I have responsibilities to my husband. I have responsibilities to my children. So when I look back, I am grateful to God that is actually what is helping me right now in marriage. And so what will help you in your marriage is how you handle or the things that you do in your single years right now. Ladies will be able to relate to this. There is no lady that doesn't know about makeup. Even if she doesn't make up, maybe you like to go natural, or maybe once in a while you do makeup, but I'm sure every lady here has heard the word makeup, right? Are we here?
Yes, ma, we have.
Yes, ma, we're here, ma.
Okay.
They are listening, ma.
Okay, thank you. So, every lady knows what making up means. So now, what I'm going to be saying, the gentleman can also adapt it and, you know, take what you can get. Take what applies to you. It's just a general principle, but I'm sure you can learn from it. So, in your single years, ladies, I would like to say you should make up your mind. Now, the Bible in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually." Take note. One, by the renewing of your mind. Focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. So that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. It says, as you mature spiritually, how do you mature spiritually? By the renewing of your mind and also focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. Now, in your single years, these are the things that you should focus on. You know, you've heard this, your makeup looks good on you, your makeup is on fleek. In our generation today, we use makeup a lot to enhance beauty features and generally to feel good about ourselves. Makeup boosts your confidence. It makes you feel on point, like you're considered a sleek queen when you put on your makeup, put on eyelash and eyelashes and all that. However, it's time to make up our minds. In your single years, that's the best time to make up your mind. The Bible says a pretty head, a beautiful face on an empty head, it's like a ring on a putting a ring on a pig's snout. So that's why it's very important you make up your
Let's wait for a while. I think there is a network problem on the side of speakers. So can we just wait for a while for them to join? Okay, I see they're back now. Okay. I'll just hand over now to Mrs. Purpose as she continued from where she stopped. We're with you, ma. Please go on with what you're saying, ma'am. Can you hear me, ma? Mr. Purpose, can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, okay.
Can
I think
you hear me?
Yeah, we cannot hear Mrs. Purpose. So I think if she can use your phone, we'll continue speaking to her, sir.
Okay. So I was saying that when making up, the first phase is our face. First stage of your makeup is applying the right foundation. So when you want to make up your mind, you the first thing to get right is your foundation, and that's the word of God. Now, you know, if the wrong foundation is applied on the face, ladies will understand, it can spoil your entire look. It can spoil the way you'll be perceived. If you are light and you use a dark foundation, you'll come out looking terrible. So the first foundation that you should lay is that of the word of God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:11, remember there is only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. And of course, that happens when you give your life to Christ. That's the beginning. That's the first stage. Because I'm saying this, I'm laying this foundation because when you enter marriage, you are going to need it. Everything that you use in your single years, you are going to use in marriage. You're going to need in marriage. So it's better to start laying the foundation now. It's not when you get married that you are going to now decide to start studying the word of God more or reading books more. Because I'm sorry, like I said, your time is going to be shared. That's why you see, or maybe you've heard, people after they got married, their prayer life dropped. Why? Because even Paul said it, they are focused. Your focus is on pleasing your husband or your wife. They are carried away by things of the world. They have to, you know, please their spouse. But when you are single, you have every time to run after God. So that's the first foundation. You must get it right. In this, your single years, that's the time that you should build yourself in the word of God. Pray for hours in the Holy Ghost. Study, read books. That's the first foundation. That way you have an automatic update on your mind. You receive the mind of Christ. You begin to see the bigger picture of for your life, where you want to go, how far you want to go, how you want to build your family. You shape it with the word of God. So the first foundation is the word of God. That's for the face. The next thing is our eyes. You begin to draw your eyebrow. Now, not drawing the brows of your mind is simply putting a boundary line. Sorry, drawing the brows of your mind is simply putting a boundary line to the things you see, the things you hear, and the things you say. So now, it's not everything that you see. It's not everything that you should watch. It's not every music you should listen to, and it's not everywhere you should go. Discipline should come into play. You need to draw that boundary. There are cases where, by God's grace, my husband and I, you know, we are privileged to also counsel other people, including married couples. And we've heard where you think that marriage is the answer to some of your challenges, in quotes. It's not, because it's whatever challenge a couple, a married man or woman, is going through now. It must have started during his or her single years, right? So I'm trying to say this: some married men or women are struggling with masturbation and pornography, sexual sins, addictions, and they are married, and sexual addictions. So you think they thought that marriage was the cure for it, but no, marriage is not the cure for it. If you look well, or when we now, you know, decide to go deeper, we see that these things didn't just start in marriage. It was during their single years. So that's why I said you draw the boundary of your mind. You watch what you see, because what you start seeing now, you're going to carry it into marriage. And then the lips. The ladies, we put on the lipstick of a beautiful smile. And you know, we always hear that your dressing is not complete without a smile. So now is the time to take note of your attitude. Take note of the kind of signal that you are emitting, the vibration that you are giving out.
Network.
You can achieve a free mind by keeping your mind free from malice, hatred, ingratitude, envy, strife. All those things will choke your mind. They will make you unproductive. So making up the lips of your mind is getting rid of all these debris so that you can have a free flow of love towards other human beings. So I would like to say that in your single years, you should make up your mind. Now, when you do all this, you are entering marriage whole. You are entering marriage whole. And like I said again, a great marriage is actually a fusion of two whole singles who come together to become one. And marriage was never designed to make you happy, but rather to make you better. In marriage, you have responsibilities. And another thing I'd like to say is service. What can help you in marriage is service. That's if you belong to a local assembly like a church, you should try and make sure you're serving. Because what you can do for the Lord, as in what you can do for other people, for instance, you are an usher, you are standing, you are ushering people, come and sit here, come and sit there. Some people will look at you. You tell them go to the right, they will not answer you, they will go to the left. If you can endure all that while serving, it's easy to serve your partner in marriage. When he or she says, I'm not doing this, you won't get offended. Because in church, when someone tells you, I'm sorry, I'm not sitting there, you have to smile because you are serving. You know, so service in the house of the Lord is what will really, really prepare you for marriage. If you can do that in God's house, you can do it in marriage. When I was single, the church that I attended before I got married, we had 5 services and I was attending all. As in, we wake up that early, like around 4, because my church was at Ota. Just to get there in time for first service and then come back, leave after 5th service, come back to where my house was. So it's around maybe like the evening that I'm getting back, around 6 or 7, since 4 a.m. And how has that helped me? In marriage today, the church I now attend with my husband, the first service is like 7:30, and I just smiled. Like, where I'm coming from, it's 4 o'clock that we leave for first service, and then this one is 7:30. But if I was not serving all those years, it would be like a burden, because the service is actually for 7:30, but it doesn't mean you are leaving the house for 7:30. So it would have been an issue that I can't wake up that early just to go to church. But you see, my single years prepared me for that, and that service actually, and many other things. Today on my job, it's what I was doing, the skills I have built over the years. It was because I was using my mind for Christ. I was serving in administrative, you know, section in church, in the children's church, in choir. When they give you assignments to do, you know, for the whole workforce, the skills you are building, you come and use it again. The same thing in marriage. So that's just a summary. Let me just stop here. I believe Mr. Popos has some more things to add to that. Thank you.
All right, my wife will come back to finish up what she was saying. I hope we're being blessed. We just want to fill in the time slots we have with us. So let me round off the things I was saying to us for our singlehood, how to make the most of our singlehood. She has mentioned, now we prepared for this individually, so we didn't copy each other's notes, but she has almost given out everything I also have in my own notes. But I just like to show people principles and allow you build around those principles, because principles are things that you can practice on your own anywhere in the world, and they will produce the same quality of results for you. So rather than copy people's actions, you should know the revelations behind their actions. That's what my wife was trying to say. So for point number one that I shared, find your purpose and begin to build it. And your purpose, purpose comes when you have a strong relationship with God. When you know God for yourself, He will show you who
like we have another issue with network. So what we'll do is the same thing we did the last time. Just wait a minute till they are able to get back on track and we'll continue with the class.
Okay, I think network is stable now. Please, if you can hear me, just let me know you can hear me. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Hear
so this, the okay. So while you are single, you have to build your potential. What do I mean by build your potential? As a human being, the average human being has over 600 abilities. The average human being has over 600 abilities. There is always room in the room of self-improvement, the room to improve yourself, improve the quality of human being that you are. There's always room for self-improvement. So you must sit down and analyze yourself. You are like a piece of onion. There are different layers. If you cut an onion open, you'll see that there are different layers. It goes way down. So you are spirit, soul, and body. You must discover what your spiritual gifts are. Every Christian should develop the fruit of the Spirit, and there are nine. Because this nine fruit of the Spirit is going to really help you relate with human beings, whether you are single, and then when you get married. You need love, you need joy, you need peace, you need patience, you need long-suffering. You need those fruits of the Spirit to be matured or maturing in you, because when pressure comes on you, it is the content of your character that will be released. If you put pressure on paste, toothpaste, is the quality of the content that will come out. You can't put pressure on toothpaste and tomato puree will come out of that. So when life brings you under certain situations, it is the strength of your revelation of God and based on your purpose that will be revealed. Then your potential, you have capacity to build your spirit man. You have capacity to build your mind. My wife talked about making up your mind. For ladies, the way you will make up your face. So for every lady here, you know, your desire should not be to look for your husband to see you as most beautiful on the wedding day. You should become more beautiful as he interacts with you. His definition of beauty should not be used in past tense. So when you even get married, you must become more beautiful in terms of your character. My mentor would say, a man will be attracted to you because you are sharp, because of your shape, might be attracted to you because of your shape, but he will stay committed to you if you are sharp. A man may be attracted to you because of your shape, but he will stay committed to you if you remain sharp. You know, so you must build your potential. You must build your potential. You must build your potential. And that comes from self-analysis. So analyze yourself. My wife was the best graduating student of her set, and she studied plant science, biotechnology. And one of the qualities that I've always known will attract me to whoever I'm going to marry is intelligence. Carrying an intelligent mind. You know, an intelligent mind is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is something you cultivate. You build it from scratch. It is like the face of a bride on the wedding day. Somebody worked on that. So everybody here has the capacity to be better. You must treat yourself as if you are an app. And if you check, most times apps are usually upgraded. You see, upgrade this app. After 2 months of using it, they'll tell you, upgrade, your WhatsApp is about to expire. If you do not build your mind will begin to stink. So you must clean up so that you can grow up. The next thing you must do during your single years is to develop people's skills. My wife is an etiquette coach. You can sign up for her etiquette education classes. It's virtual. You must build people's skills. It is essential. Even if you marry an angel that landed from heaven, you would need to maintain that relationship here on the earth. And there are manners to... you need table manners. You can't just eat the way you like. Eat so loud. There's something called dining etiquette. You must learn how to dress your body. You must learn how to communicate. You must learn how to relate with people. You must understand the dynamics of investing in other people's emotions. There's something called emotional intelligence. You can take a free course online on emotional intelligence. You must learn common courtesies, those magic words, please, excuse me, I am sorry, thank you. Knowing how to make suggestions. If you are in paid employment, then that means you will have bosses, you have colleagues, you have subordinates. You must learn the language that all your bosses would like. You can't give a command to your boss. You must learn the language of speaking with a suggestive tone and suggestive words. When you're speaking to your contemporaries, your colleagues, you must learn the language of respect. You must learn how to affirm other people. You must build charisma. All of these things I can't share now. There are different outfits. You can also register at the Purple School or go through different coaching programs to build people's skills. When people meet you, you are like, your people's skills is like perfume. It's an aura that you carry. If you have built a good charisma, people live with a positive impression of you. So I usually have a mantra, which I'm going to share with you. You must live with this mindset that one contact is enough to give a lifelong impact. One contact with you, will I feel like I need to meet this person again? Or I will pray, may I never run into this person, even in my dreams. If I see you in my dreams, I will stand up and rebuke that dream in Jesus' name. Are you the kind of person that people want to meet and pray that they meet again? Do you have a magnetic personality, or you are repelling people away from you? You'll see, one of the things that you must learn to build now that you are single, you must learn how to forgive and forgive well. You must be a great forgiver. Please write this quote down. One of the secrets of great marriages is that a great marriage is not between two perfect people, but it's between two imperfect people who are great forgivers. A great marriage is not between two perfect people, it's between two imperfect people who are great forgivers. So amongst your friends today, are you a refrigerator when it comes to people's mistakes? You refrigerate people's sins, their offenses. You are storing it in your long-term memory. And every time they ask you for favor, you remind them of what they did not do right a few months ago, a few years ago. People would, are going to exit your life if you always refrigerate their mistakes. You must learn to use erasers when you are relating with people. People's mistakes, you must use erasers, you must clean it off, and always make sure that you add more value to people than you take from them. Those are just basics. I can't go into so much of that. No, point number four, what to do during your single years, you must build problem-solving skills. Because when you go into marriage, especially for women, marriage is not a reward. Marriage is an assignment, even for the men too. You must learn how to solve problems. You must build problem-solving skills. When you get married, you are in marriage to solve the problems of your partner. If you enter marriage with with an entitlement mentality, you are going to crash your marriage. You are going to wreck your marriage. You must go into marriage with the mindset of a problem solver. You must see your partner as your client. You must see your partner as a client that you have committed to for the rest of your life to solve that person's problems. A man was on an aeroplane, and the attendant saw that he was wearing his wedding band on a wrong finger. So she stopped by and said, "Excuse me, sir, why do you have your wedding ring on a wrong finger?" He looked at her and said, "It's because I married the wrong person. She's fool. She's always giving me problems." Now, as funny as that may sound, it's because he went into marriage with the wrong mindset. There's a joke I usually like to use to explain this, that marriage is a give and take relationship. The men give, the women take. That's a joke, but that's also not the truth. As much as you want your marriage to work, you must be ready to solve problems for your partner. You must be willing to solve problems. Then you must be able to solve problems. You must develop the capacity now to solve problems. There will be spiritual problems to solve. There will be financial problems to solve. There will be physical problems to solve. There will be emotional problems to solve. My wife is my go-to. My wife is like my personal Google. Whenever I have any issue, the first person I'm thinking of talking to is my beautiful, dutiful, intelligent wife, because she is wholesome. She has built her spirit. She has built her mind. She's physically strong. She's beautiful. And she's also extremely willing to solve problems for me, just as much as before this call happened, I still have to go outside to give her shoes, which she's using. Yes, I want to be as very real as we don't just come back. I took her shoe to the Abokis here. I don't know if you have Aboki in the part of Nigeria you stay away. Abokis are people that repair shoes. We call them shoemaker or cobbler. That's cobblers in Tushed English, but we call them Aboki here. Go to the Malam. She still sends me on errand this evening, just before, as I'm preparing to share in Queensland's community. But you see, because how she will look tomorrow is important to her, I had to solve that problem for her. She would not be a happy wife beside me right now, sharing all these deep, deep things with you guys, if I didn't take her shoes to the cobbler. There are times I clean her shoes in the morning. Sunday morning, I bend down. I try to cook. I'm not an excellent cook yet, but if she's coming back from work and you are a man that your head is working well, you can't expect a woman coming in Lagos traffic or the traffic of your state. If you live in Lagos, you understand what I'm talking about. Then if you cannot cook, can you order food? So you must be a problem solver. Even now that you are a single person, like Joseph, when Joseph was in, I like to use that example. Joseph was in prison. Joseph woke up that morning and he was more conscious of solving the problems of other prisoners than being moody. She said something very powerful, that marriage is not designed to make you happy. It was designed to make you a better version of yourself. Have you ever been to the ATM machine and the ATM machine did not give you money? You would not stay there because it did not solve your problem. So when marriages begin to fail or relations begin to crumble, majorly is because needs are not being met. So you must develop the capacity now to be a problem solver. Okay, let me jump into what I called marriage formula. Steps to a great marriage. Steps to having a great marriage. I might just share one or two. It's an acronym for STEPS, but I might just talk on one into one and maybe last point. But if we have another timeout with this community, then we might do much more than what we have done tonight. So step one, marriage formula, steps to having a great marriage, serve God together and serve each other diligently. It is very important to say at this point that what makes great marriages is not just because the two people are great lovers. If God is not at the center of any marriage, the love you profess to your spouse is not strong enough to hold some of the storms that life is going to throw at you. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I think it's verse 11. I might need to consult my Bible now. It says, two are better than one. They will have a good reward for their labor. But somewhere down the line, it now said, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Marriage is not between two people. Marriage is between three people, three individuals, actually. The man and his wife and God being the covenant witness. So we must also realize here that God is actually the one that founded marriage. God is the author of marriage and is the one that sustains marriage. And two of you must be committed to serving this God and pleasing him. And then what he does in return is he supplies the grace to both individuals, supplies the grace to your hearts to keep fueling your marriage and making your own contributions. It makes it easy for both of you. So both of you must serve God together. And then you must be willing to serve each other together. I mean, to jump to the Bible at this point in time and read this verse so that we see it in the scriptures that is there. It's First Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 32. It says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking of how to please the Lord only. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities, how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I am saying this for your benefit. So both parties, both male and female, you must learn how to serve God together. You heard her talking about how she used to be how she was in a service group in her church, and that built her capacity to serve even when it was convenient and when it was not convenient, because marriage is going to stretch you and might stress you at the beginning if you have not built service skills when you were single. And the beautiful thing about marriage that makes marriage interesting and what will make you happy is when you position your heart on that platform. I'm going to round off having said that, I'm going to round off by saying that you must serve your spouse's needs, and your spouse too must be ready to serve your needs. I can't go beyond this point because of the time we have. Let me just allow my wife to say, she has not finished. I know she has not finished. Let me just allow my wife to round off what she was saying, and then we can go into the Q&A. Okay, she's saying that she has actually finished points because of the time. She has not finished. I'm looking at her notes. She said plenty. I know she has a full jotter here, loaded points. It's because of the time that we have. So we round off here by saying that a great marriage is possible, but a great marriage is between two imperfect people who are perfect for each other and are great forgivers. So with these few points of ours, we hope we have been able to inspire you, inform you, and purposefully prepare you for the next seasons of your life. So we can take your questions now.
Wow. Thank you so much, Mr. and Mrs. Purpose. This has been inspiring. It has been informative. And we can boldly say that we are purposefully prepared to act out these things that you've taught us on, even as the Lord leads us. If you didn't hear while we started the class, we are talking on singlehood and marriage, the difference and how to prepare for it. Now we are heading into the Q&A session. We dropped the link some time ago for people to fill anonymously. And I have one right here with me. If you still have questions, you can go ahead to ask. I'm sure Mr. and Mrs. Popos will be more than happy and willing to answer this question, even as the Lord inspires them to. Okay, here goes the question. An anonymous person writes, how can a couple manage a home where the woman's love language is quality time, but the man fails to speak it effectively because he honestly does not know how to, and the woman is tired of consistently calling him out on it? She's beginning to feel selfish. She's asking what she can really do. She's trying to be understanding, but it makes her unhappy. Did you get that question, sir? Sama, did you get my question? Did you get the question? Hello? Mr. and Mrs. Popos.
Sorry, could you take that question again? The network dropped.
All right.
Take the question again.
The network.
How can a
couple manage a home where the woman's love language is quality time, but the man fails to speak it effectively because he honestly does not know how to, and the woman is tired of consistently calling him out on it? She's beginning to feel selfish. She's asking what can she really do. She's trying to be understanding, but it makes her unhappy. Quality time, but the man does not know how to speak that language. What can she do, sir?
Oh, okay. I think I understand. Can you hear me? Let me ask if my wife wants to go first. Do you want to attempt that question first? Did you get the question, sweetheart?
From what I heard, her love language is quality time. Is it quality time?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, her love language is quality time, but he is speaking another language, and she keeps calling him out.
I would like to ask. There's some questions I would have asked her, because
there's a way
you correct a man. There's a way you can let him know what your needs are, because always calling him out to a man, that's nagging. That's nagging, and men don't like a nagging wife. So you may have to change your approach. You may have to teach him how to speak your language. I mean, if I'm not, my husband is Yoruba, I'm a Akwa Ibom, and I want him to say certain things to me, you know, in Efik or Anang, whatever, I will tell him, baby, come and eat this Didiangpo. Say it after me. Didiangpo. I like hearing it. I like it when we want to eat, you come and tell me Didiangpo. You explain it to him so that he understands. So, but if you say, I've told you before now. I've told you before. Didiangpo. How many times do you want me to say it? It's different from when he says wajeon and you smile and say didiangpo, there's a difference. So there is a how in communicating your needs. So I think she should look into that. How are you saying it to him? And then you can also teach him if he honestly doesn't know.
Okay, to add to what my wife has said, I would start by saying that in marriage, three major things can cause this kind of dissatisfaction. One is unmet expectations, and then the third is unrealistic expectations. So this woman has fallen into the first category. Her expectation is not being met according to her yardstick. Her love language is quality time. Now, what I would have asked if she could answer is, what's the schedule of your husband? Is he a man that goes out early? Maybe his work schedule is really tedious. Then you might be demanding something of him presently that is unrealistic. But now my wife said you might need to teach him. And from what you said you don't want to sound selfish or you're always calling him out. I don't like that phrase, calling him out. If you have ever taught children below the age of 4, something that you have already mastered, if you teach it to a child, it might frustrate you if you expect that child to catch up with you instantly. So that's why I talked about developing the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. So you need to be patient with that man to learn how to speak your love language, because that's a love language that you are comfortable speaking already. Okay? Then the third thing I would recommend to you is, does your husband have a mentor? Does he have a man that he looks up to? Not necessarily his pastor, a man that he respects, that both of you have chosen to submit to when it comes to issues like this. Now, the secret is this: if it's the man's mentor telling him to spend more time with his wife, he will see it as advice. But if it is you saying it to him repeatedly, he will see it as nagging. So if it is his mentor, it will come as revelation. If it comes from you, it will come as frustration. So find a man that he respects and then say it in a loving way to him. Or are there areas that he's already doing well? Can you begin by appreciating him for the things he's already doing well first, so that you can build on that and then generate positive energy? Then you chip in this other thing you want to say. Because men will switch off when they think you're always nagging and you are not appreciative of their efforts. And lastly, pray. I don't think I talked about your prayer life in your singlehood. Talk to God about it. There are some things that only God can say to a man, you know, and the heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it the way he wills. And your husband is the king of that home, so you must address him as the king, okay? There's a king and a fool in every man. The one you speak to is the one that responds to you. So I hope we answered the question satisfactorily.
You did, Sarma. From here, I have written down that you might have to teach him to speak the love language. That was what Mrs. Purpose mentioned. And you should know how you are saying it to him. Mr. Purpose says, concerning that word, calling him out. He also mentioned an advice that you can speak to his mentor. You can speak to his mentor, be patient with him, help him learn, and finally to pray about it. I'm waiting if anyone still has a question. Mr. and Mrs. Purpose are here to help us answer these questions. While we wait for the questions, I must say it's been a great time tonight with this amazing couple and their baby, who was giving us some words of advice in the background.
That's very yes, funny.
Yes, sir. I can truly say my book, my daughter now is over like 2 pages are filled with nuggets from this class. They would be transformed into carousels and posted for future references. And I'm sure even as the Lord leads our convener and our host, Queen Sisan, even as the Lord lays it on our hearts, we would love to have you guys again. Love to have you guys again, because as you said, you are not true. And we hope that we can, even our hosts can just help us with a class like this. This is a master class. I'm sure this class that we are having here is a class that people pay to have access to this, and I'm sure that we've been blessed. So I'm still waiting for our questions. Still waiting for our questions. We have another question, Sama. I hope I have your attention.
Yes, we are here.
All right. What is the best way to deal with a breakup that you know is best for both of you? However, you still have strong affections for this person. I'll go again. What is the best way to deal with a breakup that you know is best for you both? However, you still have strong affections for this person. How do you deal with this, Sama?
Wow. this is a very interesting one. Very interesting one. Sweetie, my wife is an expert. She's an expert. She's an expert at this kind of questions. I will give my opinion after she speaks. Let me allow her talk to the ladies first, because it's very tough when you have to break up with somebody that you still feel strongly for. But now, sweetie, you want to talk? Okay, let me allow her. Okay, it's back.
All right. To tell ourselves the truth, that's quite a difficult one. And I've been in that space before. So the best way to deal with that kind of thing is understand that you are a spirit, right? You have a soul. And you live in the body. Firstly, you are a child of God. You are a spirit. So I would not answer this question without talking about God, because that was what helped me. You know that this breakup is right for both of you, and I like that. I like the fact that you are honest about it. That's, you know, it is. So that's already 50% solved. It's not like you're thinking, ah, I've made a mistake. You already know that. But that's it. If you are yielded to God, then you should be able to switch and tell yourself, this is the right thing I'm doing. This decision that we have made is to please God. And there is nothing you do to please God that you will not reap the benefits. And you will not see the results. You may not understand things now, but later you will see that there was a reason why. In my own case, it was the Lord that told me to, you know, sever that relationship. And it was not easy, because it was for several years. But it was for 6 years, yes. But I had to, because I had that instruction from God. I couldn't pretend, right, that I didn't hear God. And so I went to God. I took the word of God, and this is what helped me. How you can deal with it is to be worded, as in be full of the word of God. The Bible says God walks in us both to will and to do of his pleasure. So what I did was I took it to God, and I said, Lord, you walk in me both to will and to do your good pleasure. So I want you to take over my emotions and help me to really forget this person. Help me to, you know, draw that line, because I'm doing it. What's your ulterior motive? Your ulterior motive is what you.
We cannot hear you, Ma. Cannot hear you, Ma.
I think it's back.
Okay. You were talking about ulterior motive. You're talking about your own motive before we lost you, Ma. Ma, can you hear me? Yes, sir. We can hear you now, sir.
Oh, wow.
Can you hear me, Ma? Ma, can you hear me? Hello, Ma. Okay. Can you hear me now, Ma? Yes, ma. Yes, ma. I can hear you now, ma. I can hear you now, ma. You stop that. You stop that ulterior motive. Knowing your ulterior, motive.
Okay, now I can hear.
Yes, ma. Yes, ma. Yes, ma.
Hey.
Yeah, we can hear you now, ma. We lost you while you were speaking about ulterior motives. Hello, ma. If you are listening, just don't go anywhere. Okay. I think Mrs. Purpose left. She's going to come back on. There's a problem with the network over there. So do not leave. She'll be back shortly to answer that question.
Sir, can you hear us now? Ma.
Purpose is now online. I think we're good now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
Right. We have to log out and log back in. All right.
Yes. Okay.
Wow, that question is, I will call it a masterclass question. So it's a very real question, because a lot of times people fall in love with people that are nice but not right for their destinies. At times, people being in a relationship that will totally shipwreck their purpose, their vision, and their destiny. So I must, okay, I was thinking, can you still hear me? Can you still hear me, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if you want to do breakup in the energy of your flesh, you are going to fall flat on your face. If you want to do breakup without the help of Holy Spirit, you're going to fall flat on your face. I don't know if you heard my wife's answers. You know, it was very deep. She said, maybe I'll ask her to say it if you didn't hear it. Okay, maybe I should just ask her to quickly just summarize her answers, because she went through something very similar. and she shared how she was able to move on after the breakup. So, sweetheart, just say what you said earlier again quickly.
Okay. The summary is, I said that we are a spirit and you cannot separate that. It's the Holy Spirit actually that is going to help you, because the Bible says he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So for me, I had to bring God into it and I told him, Lord, take over my emotions. You are the one that's working me both to will and to do your good pleasure. And I want to please you. And so I told him to take over my emotions. And he did. As in, he did, literally. So sometimes we don't know how much power we have, or how much that prayer is, how much prayer can do. So I'll just say, go to God, take it to God. He's the one in charge of your spirit, your soul, your body, and tell him how he can help.
All right, so let me add to that answer. Some people would hear that and like, it's not very practical, it's too spiritual. But listen, spiritual things are practical things. Because you are a spirit being, and you must understand that you are a spirit being just having a human experience. And Bible truths are not instructions that we cannot carry out. My son is crying for attention. Just permit the young man. Now, Isaiah 43 verse 18 says, but forget all that. It is not compared to what I am going to do. For I'm going to do something new. I need to read that in the original translation. I said, do not remember things of old. It said, behold, I do a new thing. That's verse 19. So our emotions are real, but they are not always right. You must realize this. Your emotions are real, but they are not always right. When the breakup happens, you will feel like your entire world is crashing, or like you cannot move on without that person. That is not true, but that's how you will feel. Now, look at the instruction here in Isaiah 43:18. It says, do not remember the things of old. That's a command, meaning that you have the capacity to forget that relationship and move on. What does God mean? God says, now behold, I do a new thing. Let me share what will help you. Immediately you break up with someone, then you must fill your life with visionary things. That's things that has to do with your future. When you break up with someone, can you go and take a new course? Can you join a new service group that would demand more of your mind, and your attention will be taken away from that? Because if you leave your mind to begin to brood on that relationship every night, you are reading old text messages from that person, you're going to go right back to that relationship. So he said, do not forget the things of old. One of the ways, you must delete everything that will remind you of that person. Delete text messages. I'm showing you practical things to do now. Delete text messages. If you have pictures of the person on your phone, delete them. Don't go and check their Instagram handle to see whether they are doing well, how they are handling the breakup. You are not the breakup doctor. Because since you said it is right for both of you to break up, then you must get right on your journey. Remember Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Do not look back. When she looked back, she turned to a pillar of salt. So practical things you must do. You must also bring yourself into accountability with certain individuals who are going to pray with you, encourage you, stand with you through that process. So you can tell them, you know what, anytime I feel like talking to my ex, I'm going to quickly call you that I'm having these overwhelming feelings. So do it with an accountability partner, somebody that will not make light of what you are feeling. I had that kind of experience in 2013 when a relationship went south and I thought it was going to go all the way to the north, to the altar. And because I'm a 100% kind of guy, if I'm in, I'm in 100%. When this lady dislocated my emotions, I was hurt for about 5 years. It was hard to move on until I did what God's word said. Until I prayed about it, I did not heal on the inside. So it's not time that heals wounds. It's what you do with time. What you do within that time that the breakup has happened. And if you do what my wife said, you pray about it, submit your emotions to the Lord, and then you begin to fill your void moments with activities that are future-driven, vision-driven, then you will heal up faster and you won't always feel like without that person, you can't move on. The only person that when the person leaves you and you are totally finished is when Jesus Christ himself leaves you. So hold on to God tightly and every other thing lightly. Any other question, please? Okay, my wife said she wants to add.
I don't know if you heard when I said also remember your why. Your why is what will also help you. Why did you break up in the first place? When you remember the reason, then it will also help you that, like, to, you know, affirm yourself that you are actually on the right track. And remember, because this is a breakup, you are still going to go into marriage. Old firewood still burns very well. That's why you must, like my husband said, disconnect. Pictures, voice notes, everything, because old firewood still burns. Yes. So you must be able to, you know, do that.
Yeah, and another thing I would suggest, she said, what's your why? I went through a season of breakup and I had to write in my prayer journal a lot of I did what is called emotional therapy. You have to affirm yourself, write positive things about yourself. Because when somebody, especially if you are the recipient of the breakup, that you didn't see it coming, the person just gave you breaking news, I'm no longer interested, it will leave you devastated. And people don't break up with you the day they tell you. The person must have broken up with you months before that day, and they just came to announce. So so that's what I would suggest you do. Do the needful, and the Lord will heal you ultimately. So do we have more questions?
We do not have any more questions, sir and ma. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for right about now, I'm going to be inviting Queen Sisan to take over, even as she appreciates Mr. and Mrs. Purpose for teaching us tonight and honoring the invite to have this class. So, Queen Sisan, you have the floor.
Thank you very, very much, Jimo. Such a beautiful job. So excited, really excited. I've been so blessed. Thank you so much, Ma. Thank you so much. It's been a huge honor to have you on this platform. Like, you've just been dishing wisdom back to back. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. There's so much to go and brood on tonight. We're really grateful on behalf of every member of the Moment of the King community. Okay, thank you for honoring our education and, you know, coming to us. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. A lot of fire points everywhere. Just busting the roof with punchlines. Thank you very much, Ma. Thank you, sir.
It's our pleasure. We thank you, Sue, for the
invitation.
Thank
you, Sue, for having us.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, everybody who has been a part of this class, this session. The recording is going to be made available on the podcast platform, and we'll be able to listen to you there. Thanks to every single person who has been a part of this, and to people who are just joining. Now, I'm going to make the video on the podcast platform so you can listen, and you know, you will not miss out on any bit of it. For being here, thank you. Thank you for.
All right, good night, everybody. Go live purposeful lives and enjoy your marriages. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.